Well, we're gathered here this morning at St. Paul's with what all of the rest of the world is calling New Year's Day, January 1st, New Year's Day. Perhaps you saw some of the fireworks and glorious demonstrations of the New Year over the evening. They start in Australia and move all across Asia into Europe, and then we see the spectacular fireworks in our country. Saturday nights, I tend to be a little restless anyway, and the fireworks near our house just kept going on and on and on, and I say as happy as I was to welcome 2017, it did get a little bit tedious hearing the firecrackers at 3 in the morning when I was getting ready to get up, but despite what we know and experience as New Year's Day throughout the world today in the church, in our own church calendar and our own walk as Christian people through a church year, today is the feast day of the Holy Name. And that's because when January 1st falls on a Sunday, which is the eighth day of Christmas, the octave day of the Christmas season, and when the eighth day falls on a Sunday, when January 1st falls on a Sunday, we take a special time and celebrate a special moment in the name of our Lord's life. Now, as we've heard in the passage read to us some moments ago, Jesus' religious faith informed his whole life and his ministry. And of course, Mary and Joseph, like any good parents, figure very prominently in his formation and his religious life. And like any good, observant Jewish parents, they take their newborn son to be circumcised and named on the eighth day. This is the eighth day of Christmas, the octave day. And so this is the day we recount a very important day in the life of our Lord and Savior, and one that has really a special intimacy, begins by the shepherds coming from the field to speak and to say what they have heard from the angelic host. And then, of course, Mary pondering all of those things. And then on the eighth day of this child's life, otherwise known here as New Year's Day, the eighth day, the naming of this child, Luke tells us that after 8 days had passed, it was the time to circumcise this child, and he was called Jesus. He was given the name Jesus, which, of course, Luke reminds us is the name that was told to Mary on that great day, that momentous day, when she encounters Gabriel, and he announces to her that she will play a monumental role in the birth of the Son of God, the Word made flesh. Now, the law of Moses requires the circumcision of male children on the eighth day of their birth, a sign of God's covenant with Abraham. And so this eight-day-old boy of these devout Jewish parents is taken to be circumcised and named, this covenant that is given between Abraham and the people Israel that they might prosper and grow into a great people. Now, we Christians, in a different way, are brought into covenant with God through Jesus. Jesus was marked as God's own in this act on his eighth day. If you'll recall in our baptismal service, after the water is applied in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we take a bit of oil and we mark the face of the baptized person, and we say they are marked as Christ's own forever. So Jesus was given, as was the understanding of his culture and religion of that day, he's also given a name on the eighth day of his birth, and it's spoken, the name spoken to Mary by Gabriel, who paid her a very memorable visit and offered her an understanding of the role that she would play in salvation history. And the name we invoke, Jesus, we take it for granted as we speak it in our religious life, in our prayer life, but the name itself, of course, comes to us from Latin, by way of Greek, by way of the old languages of his day, and the most working, accurate definition of this name is the Lord saves. Jesus traced to its origins, this name, the Lord saves. It is a statement, a very powerful action statement that we make when we utter the name, the holy name of Jesus, the Lord saves. The hymn that we sung a few moments ago prior to the reading of the gospel, those words go back to the 15th century. They're very old words, and it was about that time the church started paying very clear attention to this particular Sunday, the naming of Jesus, the gift of this name, which is a proclamation by the preacher, a proclamation by the faithful, a proclamation of God's work in salvation. The mere name uttered, Jesus, the Lord saves. He's saving in his life and death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, all of these things that we routinely mention in our service of Holy Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving, walking past these important moments in the life of the Word made flesh. We heard Luke's version as the name is given to Mary at the time of Gabriel's visitation, at the time of this annunciation to Mary, but Matthew takes a little bit different tact and reminds us that the name was given to Joseph in the dream when the angel visits Joseph in a dream. You remember Joseph is very shaken by what he has come to learn about Mary, and the angel comes to him in a dream and gives him this powerful reassurance that he is to be the father of this child and be with Mary as this child is given to them and raised by them. And Matthew says that Joseph is to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. What may be very evident to Matthew has perhaps been lost over time, but the name of Jesus is given, according to Matthew, because he will save the people from their sins. And in Jewish tradition, it's the father, Joseph, who names the child. And so we hear in two different accounts the angelic host telling these two parents very clearly that this child is to be named in the manner that the Lord is bringing salvation to his people. That's the power of the Word made flesh. That's the power of every utterance of the name of Jesus. The Lord is saving us. The Lord saves. That's the power of the Word Jesus who has come to us for our salvation. That's what we proclaim at the mere mention of this name. We're not just recounting some sweet stories about a nice man from a time gone by, not even recounting the stories of a fine moral exemplar or even a great insightful ethics teacher. We are proclaiming God coming to us, the Word made flesh. We are proclaiming God who saves. By the name of Jesus, we are proclaiming the Lord saves. So, this is a great way to perpetuate our Christmas message. We don't observe this particular feast day, except I was trying to figure out exactly how many every other year is, depending on the 7 days of the week or the leap year, but it's once every so often. But it is a way we can remind ourselves of the holiness and the import, the work of God in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Word made flesh. And what a wonderful way it is to start a new year. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.